If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm Rachel Yucatel. I wanted to start off by thanking everybody for listening and tuning in every week to our podcast. We've hit over 2 million downloads in the short time we've been doing this, and I really appreciate your support. If you could go and give us 5 stars and give us a review, that would be even more special to me. We love hearing what you have to say. We love reading it. We read everyone, and it really helps us out. So I wanted, again, to say thank you so much for your continued support. You are why we do this. So for today's episode, if you're a Bravo fan like I am, you're going to love it. We have Toomey from Below Deck Med. What I love about Below Deck franchise is that unlike all the other reality shows, this cast actually is working while shooting the season. And I don't mean like the way the cast of Vanderpump, you know, works. These yachties are actually living and breathing their job aboard a boat with very particular and wealthy clientele that expect 5-star service no matter what drama they might have going on. And the cameras are there to just catch all of it. As Chief Stew, Toomey stays out of the fray most of the time. So we were excited to get to know her better. She was born in South Africa and grew up with a large blended family. She manifested her way into the yachting industry with the help of some quarantine creativity and her Instagram feed. I think that story is really going to surprise you. It's such a great story. And she's actually very inspirational the way she does it. She gives us the inside scoop on the reality of yachting versus the reality of yachting on TV. If you're interested in working in the industry, or if you're interested in taking that first yacht vacation, you're going to want to listen up. Toomey is a no bullshit kind of girl, which I love. So get ready for some rumors to be cleared up and maybe some new ones to be started. Toomey, it's so exciting to have you here on Misunderstood. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. So where are you in the world right now?
I'm currently in New York City and it's freezing, but
oh, yes, it is. Well, I'm in Florida, so it's a little warmer, but you're not in the Mediterranean somewhere on a yacht, correct?
No. And it's not the season yet, so we're not ready to go yet.
Got it. Okay. So it's funny because we have a mutual connection that kind of helped me get you on this show. I mean, obviously everyone knows who you are and I knew who you were, but we share someone in common who is an astrologist. I was just curious, do you believe in astrology? Do you use that to sort of help you make decisions, or you're just we're having fun listening.
Oh my God, I totally believe in astrology. And Amy was actually one of the first people to like really get me into it. And every year I always get a reading from her because I'm like, okay, we can conquer, we can do this. It really helps, you know?
I was curious if you think it's been something where you've seen actual tangible things that she's predicted.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, in the moment when she reads it, sometimes I'm like, oh, Amy, I really hope that's not true. I don't know if I believe that. And then by the end of the year, I'm like, yep, Amy called it.
Wow. All right.
Well, now trust me, I definitely believe her.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I just started having her do my readings, and I'm not sure if I fully believe in it yet, but I'm going to see where it takes me. But it is very interesting, that whole thing.
It's so interesting.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about who Tumi is before the girl that we know on the screen. I know you were born in South Africa. Can you talk a little bit about your childhood?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I was born in Johannesburg, South Africa, which is probably like our New York of Africa. Mm-hmm. I grew up there my whole life, stayed in the same house, the same area, went to one school, have a group of friends that I've had for years and years and years. So we had a pretty good life back there. Grew up with a garden, grew up with animals, you know, so it was a really good life.
And do you come from a big family?
I do come from a very blended family as well. So I've got like 6 siblings, 2 oh, wow. stepbrothers, 1 half sister, 1 adopted sister. It's a lot.
Wow. Okay. And are you still close to everybody? Are they still there? Did they move to America also?
Yeah, I've got 2 brothers that are here in America, and my sisters are back in South Africa.
Okay. So I know you've spoken a little bit in a confessional about something that a tragedy that happened when you were younger. Can you talk about what it's like to lose your father?
I guess at that age, it was super confusing because it was so sudden. It wasn't something that I think any of us expected. And it's just crazy because sometimes with death, like everything just changes overnight. And so it was pretty hard in the beginning. But eventually, you know, life goes on and you kind of get used to the new normal. Mm-hmm. But at first, it definitely was a shock to every single one of us, including the community.
Right. Well, you found out, it sounded like you were about to have a dance some sort of performance, right?
Yeah. So I was actually on that topic. I was a lead, my first lead in my ballet concert. So without me, there wasn't really a show. And, you know, we were really young. I think we were like 7, 8. It's not like they have like someone on the side that can fill in for you.
Right. There wasn't an understudy.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a bit of a, you know, there wouldn't be a show. And I would remember just being so excited. It was my, you know, my first time. And I loved ballet. I took it so seriously. Yeah. So yeah, that day was my first show.
Wow. And for people that don't know what we're talking about, can you explain what happened to your father? Because it was sudden and it was a complete tragedy.
Yeah. So my dad was murdered. It was an apparent hijacking. And he ended up in hospital for a couple of days. But when they decided to pull the plug, that night was the night that I had to go perform my ballet concert. So, I mean, you know, I didn't have to do it, but at the same time, I was like, this is something that I have always wanted and I was so excited about it. And I also didn't want to let people down. So I ended up dancing. But, you know, dancing at the same time is therapy, now that I look back at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It probably wasn't the worst thing to do.
No, it was probably, you know, took your mind off of it and it made you feel like you were doing something for you. Did your family show up for you, or were they at the hospital? Like what happened?
No, they were at home. I mean, they had to be at home. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I had more than one show.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So, you know, the other shows, they were there.
How do you think that affected you? I mean, listen, I'm somebody who, my father also died when I was 15. My headmaster at my boarding school had to tell me, you are much younger than me, but I know what that is like to lose somebody. It was a very sudden, tragic thing that happened. So to hear something like that when it's completely unexpected as a child, for me, I know that that affected me. It affected my relationship with men going forward. It really affected me. So I'm curious, you know, what your, you know, how that affected you.
Yeah, it completely changed me forever. I truly believe if you lose a parent at any age, there's a part of you that completely changes. And it's almost like you lose a part of yourself. And I think, and I didn't realize the effect until I was about 18 when I left home, because I left home at 18 and went and lived on my own. I went to another city. I started a whole, you know, went to college, I started a new life. And I was like, holy crap, like I actually do need my dad now, because now I'm meeting boys. It was easier not to like entertain the men thing in high school. And I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know to like decipher between if a guy is being serious, if they're being truthful, if they're genuine, if they're not, if they really love me, if they don't, because I was like robbed of that experience.
Yeah.
So it definitely changes you.
Yeah. And it's, you know, that relationship, especially as a young girl, having a father and losing him is so terrible because in my opinion, you know, that's the one man you learn what unconditional love is from someone of the opposite sex. And when you don't grow up with that, I think it's really hard to learn what that is and to decipher and kind of know your way. So for me, it's been something that was, it's always been hard to figure out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Tons of therapy.
Yeah, that's right. So, all right. So what got you to the place where you decided you wanted to go into yachting? Like, did you like boats? Did you like sailing?
I was just tired of like the 9-to-5 corporate living. I was so sick and tired of it. I remember I finished my internship. I worked at a photographic agency and it was in an environment that was aligned with like my interests and I still wasn't happy. Then I moved into the restaurant business and did social media management. And I just couldn't stand the fact that I have to wake up at the same time, go home at the same time and do the same thing week after week. Like
where were you living now?
In Cape Town.
Okay. So you were still there.
Yeah. I was still in South Africa. And I mean, Cape Town is one of the most creative cities in South Africa. And I was like, if I'm not happy here, then, I mean, we have to figure something out. And then I was in the office one day and one of my colleagues' cousin came in and she's like, I work in yachting. And I had no idea what it was. And it just, the seed was planted from there.
So how did you get your first job? What did you do?
Well, I was stuck in quarantine and at home. Mm-hmm. And I just decided, I was so frustrated because, you know, we couldn't get work and they weren't flying people out of South Africa. So I just decided to do what stews do on yachts and document it and kind of train myself. So I didn't even know how to fold like a fitted sheet. So then I'd do like little fitted sheet folds and then just put it on Instagram. I don't know how to fold napkins. So then I started folding napkins. I started training myself how to iron sheets, like super good, how to make beds. And I just literally documented that and put it all on Instagram. And it just got traction and picked me up and was like,
hold on. This was during COVID and you were home ironing sheets and folding your bed and putting it on Instagram.
100%.
That's amazing. That's like, you know, that old, you know, what they say, like, you know, if you build it, it will come or whatever. Like you couldn't get out and get the job. So you like created it in your home and it came to you. I think that's amazing.
I kind of just lived it. I guess that's like manifesting. You know, some people say you manifest, but you have to generate manifesting. And I was just generating that energy. Like, I want this. It's not here, but let me just become that thing that I want.
And would you read books or watch other videos about what you were supposed to do? How'd you know how to fold corners on the bed?
YouTube. Everything you need is on YouTube.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. We all know New Year's is synonymous with big health resolutions, and I've definitely got some of those, but you know one thing I'm not changing in 2024? My skin routine with OneSkin. I started this last year, and I have never had healthier skin. What makes OneSkin so great? Well, their products are powered by scientifically proven peptide called OS1 that targets lines and wrinkles right where they start, your cells. It's not just another skincare routine. It's a real science breakthrough. In fact, OS1 is the first of its kind to actually turn back the clock instead of just masking the signs of aging. With their full line of face, eye, body, sun, and travel size products, OneSkin doesn't only promise healthier skin, they prove it. I've been all in from the first time I tried it, and so can you. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products by using the code UNDERSTOOD when you check out at oneskin.co. Starting 2024 off right and give your skin the scientifically proven love it deserves with OneSkin. So for Christmas, I sent my mother, who's 78, the travel pack, because in the travel pack, it comes with four different products, a face wash, a body lotion, the face lotion, and also the face cream and the eye cream. And I'm not kidding. She called me the other day and told me that she is going to be ordering the full size bottles because she loves it so much. And people have actually commented on her skin. And again, guys, she's 78. I've had a couple DMs from people who have told me that they've bought the product. They will not go back to anything else. They love it. They're so excited. And I keep renewing my orders. All the products are great. I love the face wash. The body lotion is great. It's not sticky. There's no fragrance. And it just makes your skin turn from alligator skin to like this regular supple skin. I'm not kidding you guys. You really have to try this. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company by focusing on the cellular aspects of aging. OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code UNDERSTOOD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off at oneskin.co with code UNDERSTOOD. After you purchase, they'll also ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show, sorry, and tell them we sent you. New year, healthier skin, that's OneSkin. We've all made our resolutions for the new year, but I wonder how many of us are actually sticking to them. I've done the whole new year, new me thing before, and I totally give up 2 weeks into the year. But this time I have one resolution I know I'm going to keep no matter what. Smelling better naked. It's as easy as upgrading deodorants to Lume. Lume is a game-changing whole-body deodorant, safe to use anywhere on your body, and I mean anywhere, pits to privates. It's especially great when you're running around all day, maybe going to the gym, then a meeting, and you just don't have time to go home in between. Created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how body odor was being misdiagnosed and mistreated, Lume is clinically proven to block odor all day long, and thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula, unlike certain deodorants that try to mask odor with a fragrance, Lume is formulated to stop odor before it starts. And they've got over 275,000 five-star reviews to show it for it. Make the switch to Lume, and with this special offer, you can make this year your freshest one yet. New customers get $5 off Lume's starter pack with our exclusive code and link. Use code UNDERSTOOD at lumedeodorant.com, LumeDeodorant.com. When I got my products, I will tell you that I tried all of them in a matter of a weekend. They all smelled great. I felt fresh. I didn't have to reapply. And the one great thing about it is that my daughter, who had heard about these products, stole every item I got and is using them every day and told me I have to order my own, which is hysterical. Lume starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lume starter pack with code UNDERSTOOD at lumedeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit lumedeodorant.com and use code UNDERSTOOD. That's amazing. Okay, so tell me about the first time you had a tangible, real job in the industry. How did you get it? What was the phone call like? Where did you go?
So I found her. So she found me on Instagram, and then we had a phone call, and she says, I'm on this boat, and we're happy to bring on a fourth stew. And also because of my social media background, the boat needed social media like expertise. And they were like, you're a perfect fit. So would you like to come? And I was like, of course I would. So I actually started my yachting career in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Okay. Amazing. That's where I am. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was for a private, rich dude, or it was like for a yacht that changed over different guests?
Yeah, no, it was a private boat. It was private charter, but mainly private.
Okay. Okay. And so, and that's where you got your real training.
And that's where I got the real training.
And how long was it before you were contacted by the show?
Oof, I was like 6 months in, five and a half months in. Mm-hmm. I was just finishing off my training because normally it takes 6 months in total to go from like green to junior stew. So I was just finishing. And that's when they contacted me.
And were you living, I mean, listen, I'm in Palm Beach myself. I know a lot of guys who here who have yachts. They're not even here half the time. So I'm curious,
Are
you living on the boat and it was a working boat and you guys were going out at sea, or like you were living in a hotel or something and coming in daily?
No, so we were living on the boat. We were, he didn't come too often, but we were living on the boat.
Okay, wow. And when they're not there, are you still working all the time or is it just like a free-for-all?
No, it's still 9 to 5, except you have your evenings off.
Right. Okay. So, so did you apply? Had you watched Below Deck before you even got on the show? Did you apply? Did someone contact you? Tell me how it happened.
Yes. Yeah, so I had watched, I think, 1 or 2 or 3 episodes. Mm-hmm. I knew of it. But so then when they contacted me, I was very much aware of it. They actually contacted me twice, I think. And then the one time I was like, nah, I'm not ready.
And was it also because of your social media that they contacted you? How did they find you?
Well, they found me from my social media page.
Wow. I mean, how many followers did you have? That's like shocking.
I had like, I think, because it was a stewardess page, I think I had like 1,700, but I grew very quickly. Like it was not
so
that
I think
much.
That's really important for listeners to hear. No matter how many followers you have, because so many people think you have to buy followers or you have to have like 1 million followers to make a difference. But what you're saying is really important. The show found you. Bravo found you because of this little social media page that you just spent a lot of time on and you really cared about. It was like a real transparent, raw thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
100%. I mean, you don't need a lot of followers, to be honest.
Right. So, okay. So tell me, you obviously agreed to do it. And what was the, what is that process like of interviewing? Like explain to people who are kind of obsessed. There are people that are obsessed with your show, you know? So they want to know everything from soup to nuts about how you interview, how you, you know, how, what happens from the beginning to the point where they're like, you're in, you're coming next season.
Yeah. So you go through an interview process. I guess you interview with casting first, and then I think they pitch it to the network, and then you interview with the network, and then they tell you if they've chosen you or not, basically. It's literally that simple. I think I went through like 3 interviews or something.
And were your hopes really high, or you really didn't care?
Honestly, I wasn't bothered if I got it or not. I was just like, I'm happy here in Palm Beach. At the time, I was actually in the Bahamas. I was like, whatever, I'm on my YOLO path. I'm having a great time. If I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. Like, it wouldn't have really affected me in any way.
Juice cleanses, soup diets, keto, hours of cardio. You lose weight and it comes right back. You lose it again. Comes back again. Believe me, I've been there. We all have. If this cycle sounds familiar to you, there's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. The Robody program. Robody is a patient-driven healthcare company that puts you in control of your health. Ro's mission is to enable their patients to live better and for longer by optimizing their metabolic health and helping patients lose weight. The program includes a personal coach dedicated to your health, a smart scale, an in-home testing kit to track your weight loss. Obesity is a tough subject. There's a lot of shame and many shy away from even discussing it, but Ro addresses the issue head on. They give people the tools and support that enable them to succeed. They even customize products and services based on patients' personal objectives and unique biology to help them live their best life. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Ro to help them lose weight. Are you ready to get started? Before being prescribed medication, patients must complete an online medical visit, lab test, and qualify for medication based on their BMI, lab results, medical history, and the discretion of a Ro-affiliated healthcare provider. Medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications to achieve the stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients pay for that separately. One of the great things about the Row Body program is they support you throughout the whole process. They handle all the insurance paperwork to help you get the medication covered. And if eligible, patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. You can even sign up online. The Row Body program is ready for you to take that first step. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/understood. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/understood. Again, row.co/understood. Right. Okay. So, and they finally say to you, okay, you've got the part. How does that work? Then are they like,
yes,
you have 30 days to get your stuff in order and meet us on the boat?
Oh, I think I had like 2 weeks or something. I think I had 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I mean, I had to quit my job.
Wow.
Which was scary because the captain was not happy.
Right.
And then I flew to Miami and then we were on our way to Australia.
Okay. So wait a minute. I think a lot of people have questions about how this works in terms of payment and if it's a real thing. So were you making a decent living in Palm Beach with this other gentleman?
Honestly, no, because I was a junior student. I was earning the lowest and we weren't like a heavy charter yacht. So it wasn't great money. But it was just entry level, if that makes sense.
And then when you're going on this show, I think, my question is like, we all see you get tips at the end, but are you actually being paid separately? Like you're working a 9-to-5 job? Like, how does that work? Like, explain.
Yes. So you do get a base salary and then you get your tip money.
Right. So I think that's interesting because that's different than reality shows because you're one of the few shows where you're actually working. I mean, it's not acting.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it is, acting in your scene or whatever, but really are working and have to, do all the extracurricular things, but like you have to do a real job.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. No, we're busting our ass. That's why I look disheveled half the time because we're actually working.
Right. So they're not starting you off in hair and makeup every morning.
No, and I think, and it's interesting because I feel like people think that they do. And people's like, oh my God, why does this person's hair look like this? I'm like, I'm so sorry, but I'm sweating my tits off. Mm-hmm. Okay. I am exhausted. I have bags under my eyes. Like, I wish I had hair and makeup sitting next to me every single morning, but I don't because this is a real job. Right. So.
Okay. And what was that
like? I would look like.
Well, you're beautiful. So you look good all the time. But I know what you mean. It's not a good feeling when you don't get that extra oomph. So what was it like the first day you showed up? Did you know who was going to be on the show with you or do they surprise you?
No, I had no idea. They always surprise you.
And were you aware of of some of the cast members when you walked on that boat and you saw who was there?
My first one, no. My first season, I didn't. My second season, I did.
Okay. So let's talk about your first season just for a second. You were with some pretty high profile people. You were with Captain Jason, correct? And Aisha, how do you pronounce her name? I never get it right.
Aisha,
right. How was your experience that first year? It's your first year on TV. It's your first year doing, this kind of job and getting filmed doing it. It was a step up, I'm assuming, from being on one gentleman's private yacht to a yacht that has turnover every week. So talk about the difference there.
Yeah. I absolutely had a blast my first season.
Good.
That was the most incredible experience. I don't even have one awful or bad thing I loved it. I really did love it a lot. And it was also, I think it was the perfect bunch of people to start this journey with. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And we all genuinely had a good time with each other, and that's why sometimes I think you don't see much drama because it was just so much fun. I still stand by that. I really had a great time at first season.
Let's talk about some of the misconceptions that people don't understand about the show. For example, guests really pay. It's funny. They called me and asked me a couple times if I wanted to be a guest on one of these shows. And people don't realize this is like a paid appearance, you know? But at the same time, the guests are expecting 5-star service from you.
So you're
really fulfilling two roles. I mean, you're trying to have a storyline, but at the same time, you're fulfilling a real need for guests that are there on a real trip.
And that's what people, you're right. That's what people don't realize, is that when they're paying so much for this, I'm a real yachty. So I take it seriously. And I know that if I'm going to invest a lot of money into something, I expect a service. So if I have high standards, well, yes, I have high standards because they're paying an exuberant amount of money.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's what I expect from my team. That's what I expect from everyone. So that misconception, sometimes people get a bit confused. Because I'm pretty sure you wouldn't be okay if your bed wasn't made at a certain time, or if your towels weren't picked up from the floor. You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah, well, of course. So you've done 2 seasons of the show. You were on Down Under with Captain Jason, as we said, and then you got a promotion to Chief Stew on this past season of Below Deck. Were you so excited when you got that promotion?
I was really excited because I was already transitioning into Chief Stew at the time anyway. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this is perfect. I knew I was ready. So I was really, really excited.
How for you did the 2 seasons differ? I mean, you played such different roles, but, you know, just give me a little succinct thing of how it differed.
Yeah, the second season was definitely way more intense. I also think that the personalities from the first season were just super chilled, you know, and everyone was a little bit more, I don't want to say mature, but they were older. No one really wanted to deal with drama. You know, it was just different. It was very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely more relaxed environment.
I'm curious if you watched season 2 of Down Under.
I watched a little bit, but okay. I'm friends with them, so I heard everything.
Right. So as we all know, there was a lot of drama with season 2, and there was a lot of drama with Laura and Luke. Do you know Laura and Luke?
No, thank God.
Okay. I'm curious, if you were Chief Stew on that yacht, would you have handled the situation the same way? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, God and Luke off that boat. Yeah.
So what I find,
I'm also saying this because I know Isha.
Okay.
And I know she would never intervene if her heart wasn't really sensing something. She's normally super chilled. She doesn't give a flying hoot what anyone does. But if her tethers were up, something was wrong.
Mm. So as a viewer, what I found interesting is that obviously on all of your shows, crew members are getting together. They're dating or sleeping together, whatever, however you want to label it. There's a lot of drinking that goes on. And I think some people took the side of, you know, this was all normal because it always happens, and it just got a little bit too far, but it wasn't a big deal. And it was all very normal. And it was like made for TV to look terrible. And then some people were like, it was totally over, you know, crossing the line and really disgusting and sexual assault. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Because I know that on a lot of these seasons, there's a lot of intermingling.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a big fan of the intermingling because of this reason.
Yeah.
Because, and I think in the industry itself, the lines are very blurred, very, very blurred. And in some ways, it's just representing what actually happens in the industry. And, you know, Laura and Luke's case isn't the first case that we've heard of.
Right.
So, yeah. And because the lines are just so blurred.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's interesting that you say that. So this isn't just a made for TV show. I want to hear more about like, what is the difference or similarities and what your show was and what real yachting is. Listen, I've been on numerous amounts of yachts. I've been to Saint-Tropez and did all that fun stuff. But, you know, I don't really recall any drama going on behind the scenes with the staff, you know, and it definitely wouldn't have been appropriate if there was, you know, that's what is interesting. So I think a lot of people wonder if it's kind of made for TV or if it's like, that's what's happening. Cause you guys are in the middle of the Mediterranean and there's nothing else to do.
No, I mean, in real yachting, to be honest, any drama and any of that stuff, you would be removed.
Yeah. Just like in any,
you're going.
In any job, right? If you are crossing the line with a boss or a colleague, it gets dangerous and distracting and people are removed. I mean, I think that's an obvious, you know, thing that people should probably have some.
Yeah. I just think 100%. And I just think that sometimes when people realize they're coming, and one of the things that frustrates me is that sometimes when these crew members come on to the show and you film with them, it almost feels like they're playing for the camera. And that's why you're seeing this over-dramatized, because I'm like, I know for a fact, if you're on a normal yacht, your ass would be really quiet right now.
Right.
You would like not say anything.
So in your opinion, some people are there for the paycheck and for being on TV as opposed to working on their skills as a stew.
Yeah, I almost think they think that that's what is wanted instead of like, just be yourself and work, which is what they tell us all the time. Like, you're here to be yourself, do your job and let it play out naturally. But I think people just want, sometimes, not everyone, but some people, it almost feels like they're playing for the camera, and that can be really frustrating. And that's why it looks overdramatic.
Yeah. I'm curious for people that are real fans of the show, you know, how much of it do you think is reality and how much of is it not maybe edited, but, you know, made a little bit more dramatic? I think a lot of people wonder if it's all made for TV or if this is what is really happening on the yacht. And it's being represented that way.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think it's as real as it comes. I personally, this, my second season, I think looks less dramatic than what it felt like. I was like, this actually doesn't look too bad. But in the moment, it felt like the world was ending every day. So it's definitely as real as it comes. They do not need to make up that drama because it's absolute chaos.
Yeah. So let's talk about this season for a second. This season just wrapped. You had some very interesting guests on this season, the fighting couple in the finale. That was really something else. What is it like to be around these guests? Sometimes do you want to remind them they're being filmed?
Oh, it's honestly, I don't know how they don't realize that there's a camera in front of their face. Like, they're going to watch this back and their kids are going to watch this back. That's what's so insane to me. Yeah. You know, or like when we had that dentist and I'm thinking, oh my God, you're like a professional, like your clients are going to see this, your patients, like it's just insane. But anyway,
right.
What happens when you have a lot of alcohol?
Yes. Is there anything that happened off camera that would be interesting to know? Like, do people ever put the camera down and say, wait a minute, I want to have this moment, you know, and it's interesting to talk about.
Oh my God. No, the camera never goes down.
On Below Deck, this is one of the shows on Bravo that does not have a reunion. So I wanted to know if there was a reunion, what would be an issue you think that was brought up or discussed?
Everything from beginning till end. I definitely think between Kyle and Natalia issue, I think between Natalia and I think people shit stirring. I think that would be questioned. I think people's management skills would be questioned. Personally, I would be always open to a reunion, but
yeah,
I guess, I don't know. I hope, we don't know. You never know. Yeah. It may not, I don't know, but I would be open for that.
So some of the critics out there said you as a chief stew, your demeanor was a little abrasive. What would you say to that?
Okay.
Exactly.
I mean, look, it's like I get why, but there was a reason for it. And unfortunately, it's hard to get into why, because it wasn't filmed and it's something that the viewers haven't seen. But there was definitely more to why I was irritated. There was a lot of talk behind the scenes and things that I was hearing. So by the time I got into that boat, I was just like fuming. But
what do you mean? There was just gossip that started before you even got there?
Yeah. And also like, yeah, there was. I would say there was. There was just a game that was being played, and I had my feeling that there was a game that was being played between certain people, and I was just super irritated. And at the same time, once I walked into the boat, I was really uncomfortable and I could just see eyes on me. Like, people weren't very, I mean, besides like one or two people that were welcoming, but it just felt almost like, oh, you know, she's here, like ruined our little dream team going on. So it was really uncomfortable.
So did that make you put like a wall up and have some real boundaries with these people?
Yeah. I was like, I am not going to be stepped over.
Right.
By any means.
But I think, you know, on a real yacht, that would be normal. It would be acceptable.
True. I mean, on a real yacht, you wouldn't have three chief's shoes. Let's just put it that way. On a real yacht, I don't think any sane captain is going to bring three people that are head of departments to work with each other, because we all have different styles. It's a recipe for disaster. And the first time I ever worked in yachting, we actually had the situation where we had two chief's shoes and it was a mess, a complete mess, because it's always going to be an ego and a power struggle. Someone's always going to think that they know better. And that was my biggest worry. And I knew that it just was going to, either way, it was going to be a problem.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had a fan recently say something, make a comment, about the fact that they were saying you were a diversity hire. What are your thoughts about that?
I actually did see that. That's insane. It's crazy because, you know, I've really busted my ass in this industry, and I actually don't even take that seriously, because I am one of the few, I'm not going to name names, but I'm the few yachties in this below deck universe that actually still works in yachting. Mm-hmm. And post-show, I ended up working on a boat larger than the one that you see on Below Deck, managed more people, and did a phenomenal job, and it was a really, really tough boat. So to those of them that are like diversity hire, I would love them to send forth their CVs and see if they can do it themselves.
Okay, I love that.
That's my answer.
In watching the show back from this season, you know, what were your thoughts? Was there anything you already said you thought it was more dramatic in real life than what you saw, but, was there anything that you saw in the editing that you saw on TV that you didn't even know happened?
Oh, a lot. I mean, the shouting between like Kyle and Jess, like, the gossiping, you know, I just didn't realize that it was that bad, because it's just like certain people, every person that I was interacting with, I had a personal relationship with them, but I didn't see their relationships with other people because I was busy. I'm upstairs, I'm working, I'm running around. So it was really interesting to see how people's demeanors and behaviors changed or were way worse than what I thought it was. Because someone can come tell me, oh my God, this person did this to me, but I wasn't there, so I can't see that. And so that was a little disappointing and very surprising. I also didn't know about the multiple hookups. I have no idea so many people were hooking up. I almost felt like I wasn't even living on that boat.
That's funny.
Honestly.
That's so interesting. So is there a below deck friend that you still talk to? You know, you kind of create like a you feel like a family a little bit when you film these kind of shows. So is there someone that's still in your life?
Oh yeah. Many of them. I mean, Aisha Bertini from season one, Chef Ryan, Captain Jason, you know, from my season now it's Jess and Lily. Like, I still speak to them. Luca.
Right.
I was with Luke at BravoCon. So you still do.
Yeah.
But I would say like the person that's like my bestie is Brittini. Like that's my girl.
So I think people are curious, like once you're done filming stuff like this, how does it work? Because then you have to, if you're doing this to be an actress or to, you know, further your television career, you go down one road, but if you're really working in the yachting industry, how do you get back into it?
You just apply. You apply for work, but it can be tough. It can be tough because especially the more that you do and the more that captains see that you're on this boat, I've had boats where they've said, sorry, you've been on below deck. We don't want to hire below deck. So it can hinder you from getting another job. But you just apply. And I have many friends in the industry.
But I'm curious why.
Because they don't think, why they think that it's, they don't want us.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious if it's because they want, you to understand how to be, you know, quiet about things and be very under the radar, or is it because they think you have too much drama because of that? Like what, why would you not get hired?
Yeah. Because like what you were saying is that it's like so dramatized, they assume that you're drama and that's not the essence of yachting. So the minute they hear that you're on below deck, they're like, oh, well, she's definitely going to be drama and she's going to be dramatic and she's going to be this. So, I mean, I've had, you know, I remember my first season, I went on a boat and I only told them, they found out actually because a fan came up to me when we were having a crew dinner. And that's how they found out. And they were like, wow, Timmy, if we had known that, we would have never hired you, but you're not going anywhere because we love you. And that's because I don't start drama, you know, it's like, yeah. So a lot of the times I get where they're coming from, because if they watch the season from mid, I mean, they're going to be like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
This is not how we do it. So
how long ago did you guys wrap?
2020. Wow. What year are we on? 2023. 2022 is when we filmed.
Oh, wow. So it's been a while. Like, so you said you've been working on yachts since.
Yeah, I worked on yachts since.
And is that your trajectory? Like, are you going to continue doing that? What do you want to do with your future?
My cutoff was always 30 when I started yachting, and I'm 30 at the end of this year, and my certificates are ending. So this is my last run. It's been a great run, but no, we're not. We're going to move on.
Okay.
I would love to move to households.
Okay. Oh, meaning working as like a house manager?
Yeah. For a couple of like houses, that would be good.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same kind of concept because it's high-end hospitality for a wealthy individual, taking care of all their stuff, knowing how to put, tabletops and, you know, doing all these things that are special services kind of for an individual. So I totally understand that. Do you think that you will, so you're not going to do any more seasons? Is that what you're saying?
No, you never know. I mean, you never know with me. Okay. You never know.
So you're open to
I'm open to anything. I'm open to opportunity.
Okay. I'm going to ask you.
If it feels right.
I'm going to ask you a couple kind of rapid fire questions. If you could pick a dream team to do a season with, who would it be and where would it be?
Oh my God. That is crazy. okay. So I'd pick Aisha, Brittini, Chef Ryan, just to stir shit up. Fraser, definitely Fraser. Alex.
Okay.
We need a cutie.
Yep.
Gabriella from sailing. Captain Jason. And Captain Sandy. I think we could have those two together. Okay. That's my dream team. And it would be somewhere wild, like maybe Alaska.
Okay. That's where I was born, by the way. I love it there.
Oh, I love that.
It's a beautiful place to be on a boat. Okay. You've been to a lot of beautiful places. What would be your favorite one?
The Bahamas.
Really? Okay.
By far. Yeah. On a yacht.
Has there ever been a request by a guest that totally blew your mind because it was so ridiculous?
Yes, when we were asked to get a birthday cake for Fat Joe at like 9 p.m. at night in New York City.
Okay. Did you pull that off?
Yes, thank you to Carlos Bakery. Nice.
Okay, when you get off the boat at the end of the season, what is the first thing you do? Eat, sleep, go see your boyfriend? Like, what's the first thing you want to do when you get off?
I literally sleep for 7 days straight. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
I like live in the bed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Actually, which takes me to a different question, but you know, there's so much made of these nights out that you guys all have. Like, why,
yeah,
what is the feeling going on that you guys all need to party that hard when everybody leaves? Like for me, I would feel like I want to stay in my room and watch Netflix. I don't want anyone around me. I want to just be by myself.
Yeah.
I want to drink, but it seems like everyone really wants to go out and blow some steam off.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, we're doing a reality show and it is our job. So it is expected of us to go out. I mean, you know, there are times where you don't want to, like, there were times when I didn't want to, but at the same time, it's just like, you kind of just have to do what you have to do. I also think it's great because it keeps the adrenaline going.
Yeah.
So that you can crash after.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, and you know, once you're out and you're having dinner and you really have a couple of drinks, then it's just like everything becomes fun again.
Right.
So, but if you really don't want to, you don't have to, but at the same time, it is a show. And in real life, we're not doing this.
Got it.
We are sleeping.
Got it. Right. What is one thing about working and living on a boat that would surprise people?
Oh, I always say that, I don't know if it's every boat I've been on, but normally not choosing when you want to eat killed me. Like, I'm just such a conscious eater. And like, people assume that you can just be like, oh, I'm going to go grab something to eat right now whilst you're like on shift. No, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
My first boat, I have to get told when to eat.
Right. I would assume it's very weird that you're spending all this time with these crew members. Again, like becoming a family kind of, and you go through all this stuff with them. And then 99% of the time, you probably never see these people again because they're all from different walks of life and go on to do a million other things. And you're not living in one area, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, honestly, that is true. You never, ever, ever see these people ever again. And I mean, I don't know the last time I saw anyone from like my first boat.
Yeah.
And you can spend 8 months with them. You can be roommates with them. You can eat, breathe, sleep them. You can share all these experiences in different parts of the world and you'll never see them again.
Yeah. Yeah. Sum up this season in 3 words, like crazy, exhausting, emotional, whatever.
Exhausting, chaotic, and overwhelming.
Okay. Last question. Do you watch any other Bravo shows?
Oh, I was literally just watching the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I was watching the reunion.
Me too. What are your thoughts about that?
Oh my God, that season finale. I was like sitting there like this. It was so insane. So good. So, so good.
So do you think Monica should be kicked off the show, or you think that's amazing what she did?
No, she needs to come back. I mean, she's definitely plays dirty, but she's great.
Okay. Okay. I've been watching it too.
I wouldn't want to be there with her.
Yeah, right. But I'll tell you, it seems like this is their best season. It's really good.
It is so, so good. I really, really love it. I enjoy it a lot.
Do you watch any other shows on Bravo?
I do. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is another one that I really like. Yeah, it's either Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Atlanta, I'm not too into anymore, Salt Lake City, and that's about it. And then the Below Decks.
Okay, so
I'm not a big TV person.
Okay, so last difficult question. If they did an ultimate girls trip with all different Bravo stars, it doesn't have to be girls, but ultimate trip from all Bravo reality stars, who would you pick to go on that with you?
Okay, I like Teresa.
Okay.
I need her there for spice. I love Carl Richards because she's a Capricorn queen. I need Erica Jane. I would have Monica just for control purposes. And you know what? I'm going to bring Danielle Starr back.
Wow. Why?
We're going to make this really feisty. And then me and Aishan, we can just sit down and watch.
Okay. I love it. I love it. That's great. All right. Where can people find you?
Well, I am on Instagram at Demi Mfongo, same as Twitter at Demi Mfongo, same as everything else. It's just okay. My name.
And just like, what's on your bucket list going forward?
Travel, 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 fun, 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 fun.
Great. Okay.
Really? I just want to travel. I would really love to ski this year. Skiing is the number one thing.
Great. I love that. Timmy, I wish you the best of luck. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope our listeners got to understand you a little better.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Misunderstood.